Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, a preview of IMS 12. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. Today's teleconference is being recorded. In this teleconference, you will learn about new features arriving in IMS 12 that can help you ease integration with new technology, improve operations management, and address requirements for better performance, scalability, security, and more. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Betty Patterson, IBM Distinguished Engineer and IMS Chief Architect, IBM Software Group.
Thank you. Today I will be talking about the new features coming in IMS 12 that can help you ease integration with new technology, improve operations management, and address requirements for better performance, scalability, security, and more. During this session, we will cover a wide range of enhancements and the business value they provide. On the next chart, now we are announcing IMS 12. What we have announced is that our QPP customers, those in our quality partnership program, will get early delivery of the code on December 10th of this year. General availability of IMS 12 will be announced at a later date. If you'd like more details on the announcement, please see it on our IMS website. Major themes that we have for IMS 12 are around modernizing applications with interoperation and more integration, also streamlining installation and systems management, making IMS easier to use, increasing availability and productivity. And also, we are continuing to look at how we can alleviate bottlenecks and reduce costs to enable you to have efficient growth. On the next chart, we'll look at some IMS highlights for version 12. This chart shows many of the IMS 12 enhancements for the database, including both full function and fast path data entry databases, DBRC, systems, and transaction manager areas. These enhancements extend availability, scalability, usability, serviceability, and provide new function driven by customer requirements. I will be discussing each of these in more detail on the coming charts. On the next chart, we'll start by first looking at IMS full function database enhancements. The next chart, we'll look at extended address volume support. This is EAV support. IMS version 12, we have added EAV support for non-VSAM data sets. Those data sets can now reside in an extended address space on EAV volumes. This allows us to satisfy growing DASI storage requirements. This function requires QoS 1.12 and above. Now, IMS has already had support for VSAM data sets for EAV. They came about in IMS 10. This continues the EAV support for the non-VSAM data sets, specifically the OSAM data sets. And OSAM data sets include all of the database data sets, but also includes the restart data sets, the message queue data sets. And then in addition to the OSAM data sets, we have the log data sets, so both the online log data sets and the write-ahead data sets, the WADs, and then also the spool data sets. So this is for customers that are running out of QoS addressable disk storage. So this does not allow you to have larger databases, but allows you to have more data sets on existing volumes so that you can have a fewer number of larger volumes. And in the case of OSAM databases, you might have a less need for multi-volume OSAM. So this helps with improving the manageability of the data sets. In the next chart, we have full function dynamic database buffer pools. This provides for dynamic change for OSAM and VSAM buffer pools without recycling IMS to pick up the change. So if you recall, currently these buffer pool sizes are defined in a PROC-wide member, DFS-VSM. IMS only reads this PROC-wide member when it initializes. If you have a need to change your buffer pool sizes due to workload, maybe into the month or into the quarter, your workload changes, then you would need to recycle IMS to pick up those changes. With this enhancement, we now have commands that can be used to tell IMS to resize the buffer pools. What you would do is you would create a separate PROC-wide member with your changes, and you could have multiple sets of definitions. You would then use a command to tell IMS to pick up these changes. IMS reads the PROC-wide member, and this can add new subpools. It could change an existing subpool by adding more buffers to the subpool, or it could delete certain subpools. This is now all dynamic. The actual databases that are currently attached to those subpools would need to be quizzed, the rest of the work continues. An associated change with this is an increase to the vSAN buffer pool limit. It was currently defined at 16 for a maximum, and now we can have a maximum of 255. This increases the flexibility of how you define your buffer pool, and this can allow to better application performance. On the next chart, I have another full function database storage enhancement to talk about. Now, IMS has some storage pools, and these are internal working pools that IMS uses in association with scheduling applications and allowing database usage. These pools are in 31-bit virtual storage. The change we've made is that we now allow these pools to be backed by 64-bit real storage. So that is for page fixing. If you choose to page fix the pools, we can now make use of 64-bit storage. We have some customers who had asked for this because they'd like to page fix some of the PSB pools due to their usage of PSBs, having large PSBs that are infrequently scheduled. Having the page fix is a little bit more efficient because MVS will page out the storage for these pools. And if IMS needs to cast out the PSBs to be able to do scheduling of other PSBs, the storage was brought in only to be thrown out by IMS. So having the storage page fix makes it a little bit more efficient. So you can optionally page fix these pools today. Now, if you have enough 64-bit real storage, you can page fix them there. This allows VSCR relief because for people who didn't have enough 31-bit real frames, there was a storage issue trying to page fix these pools in the past. So this is not one that everybody is going to need, but it's a nice enhancement for those who choose to page fix the PSB pools. The next chart, I have a list of additional full function database enhancements. Now, these are a lot of enhancements that came in for usability, serviceability, availability, and were also some user requirements. The first one is display the status of randomizers and partition selection exit routines. What this means is that when we load the partition exit routines or the randomizers, we'll now display a message indicating its status so that we've loaded a new one. We tell you if they're shared. So it's messages to help inform you that we've actually made a change to these exit routines. The next one, the optional DFS 2291i diagnostic message for lock timeouts. This is more diagnostic information to be able to determine why you have a lock timeout. It gives you information about the lock victim and the lock holder. So it's diagnostic messages so that you can figure out why you're getting lock timeouts. The RACF user ID and data capture batch log records. This is for a change data capture for batch. And currently, the user ID is not included in these records if it's a batch program. So now the user ID will be there. And this is the user ID off the JCL. In IMS 12, we continue to look at how we can eliminate IMS abends. We now have capability to eliminate some of the IMS user 80 abends for OSAM open, close, and in the volume processing. In this case, instead of issuing the abend, we'll issue DFS 073i message, and we will close the database and mark it recovery needed. So this keeps your IMS system up and running, but closes off the databases that have issues. The next enhancement we have for full function database is for batch data sharing. Today, if there is a cache structure access failure, perhaps a switch of the coupling facility, a batch sharing job would abend. In IMS 12, the batch jobs will simply wait for the access to return. So as soon as the coupling facility has switched, the batch job will continue to run. We have an additional enhancement for our high availability large database partition reuse. And this one is, if you have a HALDB database and you make a structure change to get rid of some of the partitions, now reuse those partition names as non-HALDB database names. So an enhancement for usability. The next item is reuse of local DMB numbers. IMS has a limitation of 32K for the limit of number of databases you can define. We have found that some customers in development environments will create and delete databases frequently. And in the current IMS environment, we don't reuse the DMB numbers, the database number. What this means is that over time, you don't actually have 32K databases anymore. You have a smaller number. And the only way to clear out this number is to cold start IMS or to cold base the system. So now we'll reuse the numbers so that you will have a full 32K number of databases. The last item on this list has to do with the message DFS993. This is now sent to the system console. This is a diagnostic message that tells you that your PSB pool is too small and gives you some additional information that you can use for troubleshooting your system. Today's environment, the message is not sent to the system console, which means that in an environment such as DB control, where you don't have a master terminal, which is where the message currently goes to, you're not going to get this information. So now having the message sent to the system console will include DB control environments as well. Now we'll start looking at the IMS-12 FastPass database enhancements. The next chart talks about FastPass 64-bit enhancements. The first FastPass enhancement I want to talk about is 64-bit buffers for our data entry databases. Version 11 added the initial support for the 64-bit, and we added it such that most of the DEDB buffers could be moved above the bar. In version 12, we have enhancements to this. We're now adding compression and pre-expansion. IMS 11, we could expand the pools, but we would not compress them. With version 12, we're adding the compression, and the pre-expansion is also nice because that says that we'll anticipate when they need to be expanded, and we will expand it ahead of actually it being needed. Therefore, it saves you the time of the expansion. We've also got some enhancements around resizing and cleanup for the buffers as well. We also have some additional buffers that are moved out of ECSA into 64-bit storage. These are buffers used for the field calls and also for SDEPs, the sequential dependent calls, during emergency restart and XRF tracking. Now note that the SDEP calls during normal processing are still using 31-bit storage. So we've got more work we can do in this area. We have a couple of enhancements to the query pool command. We're going to have additional statistics that are displayed, and we have additional status. So more work coming in the 64-bit area to provide you more relief around ECSA. Next chart we have is around FastPass data entry database secondary index enablement. This is a longstanding function requirement that we've had for IMS to provide secondary indexing for our FastPass DEDBs. We are providing the enablement for this function. Secondary indexes are full function databases. They can be either HiSAM or ShiSAM. The IMS support provides maintenance of secondary indexes. So once you have a secondary index and updates are needed as the database changes, we will be adding and changing the secondary index. The enablement that we're putting in does not provide the support for the initial creation of the secondary index. If you have an existing DEDB, you would need some other tool or utility to build the secondary index for that DEDB. Then it will be supported and maintained once you have that. So, again, this is an enhancement to secondary indexing to DEDBs. And this allows the FastPass capability similar to what we have for full function today. Our next chart, we've got additional FastPass enhancements. And these are some miscellaneous enhancements we have. The first one is for DEDB data sharing. And in a data sharing environment, there are times when the IMS systems that are all sharing need to communicate with each other to synchronize on things. And there have been cases where somebody hasn't responded to a synchronization request, and that's left the system in somewhat of a hung state. What we have done is we have now added some new messages. So when the case comes about that we need to synchronize with the IMS sharing partners, each partner that processes this notify request, this request for synchronization, will issue a new message, DFS66. This says, I've responded. Now, the originating IMS that starts off this process looks around to see that all the IMSs have responded. If one of the IMSs does not respond, then it's going to issue a new message, DFS 3770, and that says that there's a problem, somebody hasn't responded. Now you know, you can go find which IMS hasn't done the response to know where the problem is. So this helps with serviceability, usability. The next item we have for FastPath enhancements is to optionally log the entire DDB segment for replace calls in the 5950 record. Now, this has changed because in the past we would only log the change data. Now, if we had insert or delete, we would always log the entire segment. But this was a customer requirement, and the way that they were using this log record for the data, they needed to have the entire segment. Next item on this chart is to skip logging for the 99 record, and this is change data capture. So in this case, we're going to optionally skip the logging for the delete calls and also the before image for replace calls. So this came from another user requirement where the user was using the change data in a certain means and wanted to reduce the volume on the log because in this particular case, this data for the delete and replace calls was not needed. So these, again, are user requirements that help for scalability, usability, serviceability. Now we'll move on and we will look at DBRC enhancements, so just database recovery control. So moving on to the next chart, we see DBRC enhancements. We have multiple enhancements around the DBRC area. The first one I'm going to talk about has to do with removing a restriction for 32K output buffers. With DBRC, with commands typically, you'd issue a command from the system console and you would get the output back to the system console. With a DBRC list command, that output was limited to 32K so that we don't flood the console. However, now with the high availability large database, you could have a large number of partitions. And if you try to do a list command to display all the information about all the partitions, you could exceed the 32K limit. What we now allow is that if you issue the command through the Operations Manager API, so through any of the single points of control, the TSO SPOC, the batch SPOC, or user-written program, you no longer are limited to 32K output. Because in those means, we don't have the same system console flood problem that we do with output. So we can handle the larger amount of output. So that's a nice enhancement to be able to see all of the information. We have enhancements to several DBRC commands. First one I have listed is cleanup.recon. This was a command that was added in IMS 11 to specifically get rid of some of the recon records, such as the image copy records. You may have a case where you have a lot of image copy data sets, and they're controlled with a system expiration time. If the system deletes the data sets based on expiration time, we would still have a record in the recon talking about that particular data set. Having extra records in the recon where we don't have the data sets means that we've got extra data there that we could compress out and make the data set smaller, but we didn't have a way to do that. Cleanup.recon allowed us to clean up those extra records. In version 12, the cleanup.recon command has been extended to now include the change accumulation record data, so an enhancement. List.history, that command is increased. That command now shows increased timestamp precision. We added greater precision back a couple of releases ago, and now the list.history command will reflect that. We have several commands, init and notify, for both the change accumulation and the image copy, where the vol list, the volume list parameter, is now optional if the data sets are cataloged. We have also changed the init and change commands related to change accumulation group to add a retention period. This allows you to tell DBRC how long to remember this change accumulation group. And this makes it work more like an image copy. NGCL also has some enhancements. We have increased the user keys from 32 to 64. We also now provide the option to have user data fields in some of the recovery records. The image copy, the recovery, reorg, and change accumulation. you can add optionally up to 80 bytes of user data into these records. In the next chart, we have support for GBRC migration and coexistence. And this is the same as every release of IMS. IMS 12, you're going to be able to migrate from either IMS version 11 or IMS version 10. We will provide a parse for the 10 and 11 releases to be able to support recon upgrades and also fallback. And with all releases of IMS, the databases are going to be compatible and the applications are also compatible. This eases the migration to IMS 12. Now let's take a look at systems management enhancements. And we'll start by looking at the next chart with IMS repository and usage for dynamic resource definition resources. IMS version 10 added the concept of dynamic resource definition and focused first on those resources that were in the MODBLOX data set. IMS version 10 allows you to issue commands to create or change a resource that was a runtime resource. And it also has the capability to write out the resources or export them to a resource definition data set. The RDDS would be used across the cold start, so you'd have a way to remember the resources that you changed dynamically and could reinstate those resources on a cold start. MS-12 adds an optional, single, centralized store for the DRD resource definitions. This is a VSAM data set. By using this, it enables IMS systems to manage, store, share, and retrieve resource definitions for the MODBLOX resources, which are the database, program, transaction, routing codes, and the related descriptors. This allows a common place that all the IMSs can share, so you can have a single copy of the resources instead of having each IMS manage its own RDDS and its own definitions. The other advantage with this is that resource definition changes can be made into the repository when IMS is down. The IMS 10.11, because everything is command-based, IMS has to be up because the command has to be able to be processed by IMS for the change. So with this, a utility can make the changes in the repository. When IMS comes up, it will understand which resources it needs by getting them from the repository. So this will simplify the management of the resource definition and eliminate the need for managing multiple RDDSs for each IMS. On the next chart, we have an enhancement to the import command. Import came about in IMS version 10, along with dynamic resource definition, to be able to read in a list of resources at cold start time. So instead of having all your resources defined, you could come up without resources and use the import command to bring in a list of resources. Now, in IMS version 10, this list was treated like a create command, meaning that the import command expected that the resources were not already defined, and therefore, if the resource was already found, that would be an error because it would not do an update. With IMS 12, the import command can optionally work like an update, meaning that if the resource isn't there to begin with, we'll create it brand new. If the resource is already there, we will update the resource. And this enhances the usability of an import command, especially when you look at having the repository there, because you may have different sets of definitions coming in from multiple IMSs. You may have that definition already in the system. You may want to just update it. So that's the import command. The next chart, we also have some logger enhancements. Now, logger is the backbone in IMS. Everything we do in IMS ends up one way or another getting logged. And we use that log for recoverability. We use it for serviceability. And really, it keeps track of what's going on in the IMS system. The changes we have in IMS 12 are for performance of the logger to be able to increase the logging speed to be able to handle more volume. The first change I want to talk about for the logger is optional extended format support for both the OLS and the SLIDs. So the online log and the archive log can now support the extended format, and that allows the OLS and the SLIDs to be striped. This allows more throughput. We also have a change to the WAS, the write-ahead data set. We have rewritten how this function works in IMS to make it more efficient. It was built on architecture that's older and no longer used, and it was built around one where we had track groups. Now, track groups are no longer used, and the laws are written in a wraparound fashion. So what this really means is we've rewritten the logic so it's going to be more efficient processing. So we expect to see between the using the striping and the WASD rewrite that we're going to pick up some performance here and allow you greater throughput on your logger. Next chart is on Syntax Checker. Syntax Checker is a base function in IMS that eases migration, release to release, and also helps you define parameters in a Proc Glide member. For instance, if it's a new IMS system, you don't already have the parameters known, allows you to see which parameters are needed in a Proc Glide member and which parameters can be specified with others, which can't be specified with other parameters, and what the valid values are. Each release of IMS, we will continue to enhance the syntax checker as each release has new parameters that need to be supported. We also make changes in syntax checker for enhancements for usability. In IMS 12, we now allow parameters to be displayed and saved in custom order. Traditionally, the parameters would be displayed in alphabetical order. Now, alphabetical order was logical because it was a way we could do it consistently. All users have their own preferences on how they would like to see the parameters displayed, and they would like to see them in a logical order, logical to each user. And I'm sure that if you had 5 people in a room, each person would have their own version of what is a logical representation. So Syntax Checker will now allow you to specify your own order, and it will save it. So next time you bring up the ProcLab member, it will come up in your order. The other change we have to Syntax Checker is to provide support for the repository server configuration member. The repository server, it's a new address space that works with the repository. It actually manages the vSAN repository. It is based on BPE, the base primitive environment. BPE address spaces have a configuration number. So this is a ProcLab member where we have the initialization parameters for that address space. So this is a new address space, so Syntax Checker will have the support for it to help guide you with how to define those parameters. The next area that we'll take a look at are the transaction management and connectivity enhancements. And we'll start with IMS to IMS TCP/IP communications. We have extended our communications to allow IMS Connect to talk to another IMS Connect. So we can send messages between the two IMS Connect systems between the remote IMSs. Now, you may be wondering why this might be needed. We actually had some customers that had written their own gateway applications, but in between two IMS Connects. Because as you're aware today, if you have IMS Connect, you have a client application on one side and you have IMS on the other. But we didn't have a way for the two IMSs to connect to themselves. And that is the enhancement we've made now in IMS 12. So this allows two IMSs that are in separate sysfluxes to be able to communicate via two IMS Connects. So if you have your own gateway applications, this would mean that you would no longer need to have them. This function was also important to us because we needed to be able to build on it. And on the next chart, we see the multiple systems coupling, MSC, TCP/IP link support. This is a requirement we've had for MSC from customers who are moving from SNA to TCP/IP. We have added a new link type for MSC, TCP/IP. So this adds to the existing link type that we have, and currently we have VTAM, we have memory to memory, we have channel to channel, and this is just another TCP/IP and a new link type. MSC is, under the covers, using IMS Connect to IMS Connect logic to be able to support this. So IMS Connect is managing all the TCP/IP communications. We have not built that into the IMS control region. We have it in one place, IMS Connect. MSC manages the message processing, just like it always has. And then MSC is talking to IMS Connect through the structure call interface, SCI. So you would have MSC on one IMS talking to an IMS Connect in that same IMS Plex. IMS Connect would be talking to a separate IMS Connect on some other Plex that would then be talking to an IMS system. So this allows you to get off of SNA if you choose to do that. Also, it allows you to have redundancy by having links defined both TCP/IP and VTAM, for instance. And it's got a potential for some increased bandwidth, like it might be in enhanced performance over some of the other links. On the next chart, I want to say a few words about OTMA, Open Transaction Manager Access, and its TCP/IP enhancement. OTMA is the underlying factor in IMS that's talking to IMS Connect, and that is part of the enhancements we've had for IMS Connect to IMS Connect, and also IMS Connect and MSC processing. So with OTMA, you can now send transaction managers. OTMA can now send transaction messages from applications running a dependent region across an IMS Connect TCP/IP connection to another system. The OTMA destination descriptor is an important key here in this enablement. That is where you specify the parameters that tell us where we want to go with that message, which IMS Connect, which MSC are we going to link to. So there's information there that we need. It's all in the destination descriptor. So the enhancements we have now with TCP/IP connectivity are going to allow a much broader range of accessibility, flexibility options for you. On the next chart, I've got IMS Connect Type 2 commands. This is an enhancement to add a query IMSCon and an update IMSCon command for IMS Connect. We support several resources, which I have shown on the chart. This allows IMS Connect to use the standardized command interface. So now with Type 2 commands coming through a single point of control, you can have multiple types of resources coming back in a command. Instead of issuing multiple commands, now maybe all you need is one query IMS Connect command to be able to get that same information back. You can also use from single point of control to get information from multiple IMS Connects. The actual information that's returned is very similar to what's on some of the WQR and ZOS modify commands today. But with Type 2 commands, additionally, you get enhancements for wildcard support and also filters, but improves the usability of the commands. On the next chart, I've got some additional IMS Connect enhancements. So this is a miscellaneous set of enhancements that came about for usability, availability, and were some more customer requirements. The first one is the ability to refresh XML converters for IMS SOAP Gateway without having to restart IMS Connect. The XML converter is what is used in IMS Connect to be able to convert the XML stream into a byte stream that your COBOL program would want it to know about, for instance. So with SOAP Gateway, message comes in with a SOAP header and an XML. SOAP Gateway strips off the SOAP header, but that XML is left for IMS Connect. The XML converter is actually generated code, generated by Rational Developer for Z, that's loaded into IMS Connect and called as a Connect processing. So previously you had to bring IMS Connect down to be able to refresh the converters. Now you could be able to bring new applications online dynamically and use a command to be able to refresh the converter. The next item I have is provide rack-up user ID caching. This is similar to the concept that OTMA has today with caching the rack-up information. And this allows us to not have to have the overhead of going to full rack-up for every time we've got things cached. Makes things faster for processing. So this assumes that you have a persistent session, you've got the same user ID and password and group, and then we'll have the cached. Next item on the chart has to do with returning actual rack-up return codes. Now, this is a usability item for the client application. Today, when we do authentication, user ID and password goes into IMS Connect. And if we have an authentication error, meaning rack-up objects to something, we will return a return code, but it doesn't give you the specific information on why. Now, adding a new return code to pass back the actual rack-up return code. This would tell you, for instance, that the user ID was revoked versus the password was bad. The next IMS Connect enhancement we have is around the recorder trace. We've added some more trace points to be able to capture more trace data. In this case, it's the send and receive information for both TCP/IP and OTMA. This allows for better diagnostics for serviceability. The next item I have is commitment zero, no wait for ACK and NAC for roll your own clients. What this really means is we have protocol going back and forth between IMS Connect and the client. And on the last flow for this protocol is an ACK or an ACK message. And what normally happens is the client ends up waiting for a timeout. And the timeout adds to the path. So now the client can optionally say, I don't want to wait for that. And what that does is it provides some performance for that flow. And this is a change we've had for the IMFTAM resource adapter for some time, and we're just now adding it for the Roll Your Own clients. Next item I want to talk about is the new Read Client Connection Status. Now, in this case, you've got a client application sends in a message to IMS Connect. The client has to say how long the message is. If the client makes a mistake in specifying the length, then we've got an inconsistency between what the client thinks and what IMS Connect thinks. For example, let's say the IMS client says, my message is 200 bytes, but what it really sends in is 100 bytes. IMS Connect gets that message and says, okay, I have 100 bytes. I'm waiting for another 100 bytes. So IMS Connect is waiting for more message. The client has passed in all the message in its mind. So we have a condition where both the client and IMS Connect are waiting. Now, this can look like a hang state. But we've now put out a client connection status of read. Read should be just a transient status, and it's one you should never see because things should be moving too quickly. If you do see a read status, that says that you probably have a problem with the application program and you need to take a look at it. The last item I have on this chart has to do with load modules for IMS provided exits. We have several exits in IMS Connect that we ship as samples, and they're functional samples, but they were shipped in source. We found that several of our customers are using them as is, and that means that they're selling them and they're linking in into the system. We now provide load modules for these exits, so that means that you no longer have to do the assemble and the linkage for them if you are using them as is, a usability enhancement for you. The next chart is on enhanced OTMA security. OTMA has a cache for ACEs, so the ACE is the rack-up control block for security. So that's where we've got security information. Today, OTMA would have a separate ACE for users. That's the same user coming in from multiple clients. So, for instance, you might have two IMS Connects connected to your IMS, two for redundancy, for failover. And you might have Sysplex distributor out in front of the IMS Connect routing. If you have the same user, might go through IMS Connect A one time and IMS Connect B the next time, it would have two instances of its ACE in the OTMA cache. What we have done now with this change in IMS 12 is we only have a single ACE instance in the cache for a particular user. Regardless of how many times that user comes in through different paths, through different IMS Connects or maybe the MQ bridge, you'll have one instance. It means that you'll have consistent security enforcement enhancement here. And then also, if you need to revoke the user, let's say that the user leaves the company and you need to get rid of that user, now we just have a single ACE that we need to be able to delete. Another enhancement we have around OTMA security is the maximum ACE aging value is now 99,999 seconds. This is actually a reduction in the maximum time. Your maximum time now is about 11 and a half days. Previously, it was about 68 years. Now, this enhancement should not be an impact for anyone, but this just means is when we age out the ACE, have a cache, and then it will be created the next time around. So that's just how long it will live in our cache. So these changes were for more efficient processing and more consistent processing. The next chart has an enhancement for both APPC and OTMA for synchronous shared queues users. This is to simplify the system. The new capability that we have removes the dependency on RS, the resource recovery service, in a shared queues environment for certain environments. So if you're running with APPC synchronous conversations or OTMA commit mode 1, which is the send and commit interactions, and you use sync level none or confirm, then you could optionally eliminate RF from the path and instead use IMS as the sync point manager. The shared keys front and back end would be using XCF for communications. Now, if you use sync level equals sync point, you do still need RF because it is the sync point manager in that flow. So that's a global commit. So this improves the usability and makes it a simpler path, eliminates RF, and still provides the capability for shared queues to be able to spread the work to the front ends and the back ends. On the next chart, I have another shared queues enhancement, and that's for the common queue server trace. What we've done here is we've added two new trace tables, and this is to allow certain trace events that happen infrequently to be traced to separate tables so that they're not in the same trace table with events that happen frequently. This means that when we have problems that we're trying to diagnose in a shared queues area, we have a much better chance of having the diagnostic information in a trace table where previously it might have wrapped from the existing trace table. So again, this is going to improve diagnostics for shared queues users. Next couple charts, I want to talk about some IMS 12 prerequisites. And first chart here I have is on IMS 12 hardware requirements. IMS 12 runs on Z architecture machines, just like 11 does. The difference here is that the machines need to be able to support ZOS 1.11, and they need to support the long displacement facility. IMS has not required the long displacement facility in the past, but we are requiring it now. It's been around for many, many years. It shouldn't be an issue for anyone. It does allow us to use some additional instructions that will improve performance. This is something that DB2Z has required for some time, so if you are a DB2Z user, this should not be an impact to you. The requirements for coupling facility levels for shared queues environments has not changed from 11 to 12. The additional hardware requirement is if you want to use extended access volume support for non-VSAM data sets, you do need the DS8000 or the DS8700. And additional information on the hardware requirements can be found in the release planning information on the website. The next chart talks about software requirements. The minimum release level for IMS 12 is ZOS 1.11. And that is the current level. It will also use either RLM 2.2 or 2.3. RLM 2.3 will be included with IMS 12. This allows you to use the same RLM release level as you would use for DB2Z if you're using both subsystems. Other prerequisites for optional items. If you're using Java, then Java-dependent regions require JDK 6.0. If you choose to use EAB support for non-VSAM, that requires ZOS 1.12. So if you're using EAB for VSAM data sets, that requires ZOS 1.10. But if you want non-VSAM, then you need 1.12. And additional requirement information, again, is in the release planning information. I'd like to thank you for your time today, and now I will hand it back to the operator.
Thank you, Betty. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a Q&A session with our presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level? Press star 1. Not technical enough? Press star 2. More technical than I needed to hear? Press star 3. For our next question, what version of IMS are you currently running? If IMS 9, press star 1. If IMS 10, press star 2. Or if IMS 11, press star 3. Are you interested in an IMS operational assessment? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Or if you're not sure and need more information at this time, press star 3. And ladies and gentlemen, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no information is desired at this time, press star 2. That does conclude our survey. Thank you for your participation. Let's move to your questions. To ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Again, star 1, and I'll turn the conference over to our speaker while we wait for questions. Once again, please press star 1 for any questions. And it appears we have no questions at this time. Ms. Patterson, I'll turn the conference to you for any closing remarks today.
All right, thank you. And once again, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the call today. We've got a lot of really exciting things coming in IMS 12, and we'd be happy to share with you any more details if you'd like more details on anything. Thank you again. Goodbye.
And this concludes our conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and have a nice day.